The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the age of the earth? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us all over the country, all over the world. We look forward to today's topic because it's going to be an interesting one. This sometimes is a controversial topic, but I think you'll appreciate how Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar approach this subject. Now, before we get to today's discussion, I'd like to remind you about our Bible conference, which is coming up very soon. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's get right to this interesting conversation. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. I'm here with
Bob Wilkin,
and I am Sean Lazar. Here's a question from Matthew. And Matthew says, did I hear Bob right in that he said the age of the earth is just a few thousand years old? Can we revisit, please? Would love to hear more about that.
I think the best article I've read on this is an article that Paul Tanner did recently. I think he did that article for Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society, but it might have been for Bibliotheca Sacra. But either way, he wrote an article, and he argued that you can take all the ages of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, add them together, and find out when the creation was. Except, he said, there's ambiguity around the birth of Abraham. He says the date of the creation, I think he said it was 4219 or 4200 BC, plus or minus 25 years. So right around 4200 BC, which would make creation somewhere around 6200 years. Right. Now, some people argue that there was a gap between the creation of the heavens and the earth and the 6 days of creation. So there are people who hold to six literal days of creation and yet say the earth is 100,000 years old, 50,000 years old, a million years old, right. Some of them 4 billion years old. They have different ages for the earth,
yeah.
But they believe in six literal days of creation. I'm of the opinion that it's vital that we take it as six literal days of creation, even though I know there are people who don't and still hold a high view of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I happen to believe there's no gap. So I do believe that the earth was created around 6,200 years ago. And I guess the thing I would say to Matthew is apparent age. If you're familiar with that expression, Sean, apparent age.
Yeah, like, God's just tricking us.
Well, kind of. Okay.
Right. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? It's
okay.
Like he buried all the bones and made the rocks look old. Actually, I just raised this with another person. I said, according to flood geologists, people who think that the geology of the whole earth is explained by floods.
Right.
One flood.
Right.
Noah's flood. I'd asked about, well, what would you do about Mars? Because Mars has all the same geological formations that you see in Earth.
Well, see, my solution is that wasn't related to Noah's flood. So it didn't make it all the way to Mars.
Well, actually, some young Earth creationists say it is related to Noah's flood.
Oh, really?
Yes, because otherwise, how do they explain the same geological formations on Mars that you see here? It's the same type of Grand Canyon formations that you have here. Scientists say, well, it's because Mars millions of years ago had water and it carved out these canyons and those water's gone. And I asked a person this and he said, well, it's apparent age. God created Mars like that and it looks old, but it really isn't. God just created it like that.
Right. Well, here's my, I'm not knowledgeable on the age of Mars or the geology of Mars. I have heard there was water on Mars at one point. But if you take the view that the 6 days of creation in Genesis 1 and 2 are literal, then Adam was not part of a group of hominids, which, right. By the way, is what's commonly being taught in conservative seminaries today.
Right, right.
But Adam was created ex nihilo. He was created from nothing.
Yeah.
And God he created him from the dirt.
From the dust or dirt,
but
yeah.
So he takes dust or dirt and he creates Adam. And then he creates Eve from Adam's rib.
Right.
If that's the case, Adam would have looked to be, let's say, age 20 the day he was created.
Right.
Even if he looked to be 13, he still didn't look to be a 1-minute-old baby.
Right.
He was an adult. And not only that, But he had the power of language from the beginning. He didn't have to learn language. He was creative language. He named all the animals.
Yeah.
And Eve had language, too. So yeah. I would say that if you had cut down a tree, you would have found it had rings. Even though the tree was brand new, it would have had rings. And so in my view, there was apparent age. But this is called YEC, or Young Earth Creationism.
Yeah.
And for more information on this, you might look at what? Answers in Genesis. That's one of the places. Who is that? Ken Ham, I think. Now, they hold the Lordship salvation, so I don't agree with them on that.
Yeah.
But they do happen to hold to a young earth, which I agree with. And are they the ones that created the ark?
Or I think
who is
so,
that?
Yeah.
But anyway, Matthew, that would be my view, is that I take the 6 days of creation as literal. I take it that the creation of the earth and the sun, the moon, the stars was all around 4200 B.C. Now, I'm not sure. I recently heard, in fact, this last Sunday, I heard a fellow DTS grad say that he was convinced the angels were created, and the fall of Lucifer and the angels that went with him, a third of the angels, occurred before the creation of man, probably before the creation of the earth. And by the way, Paul Tanner, when he graduated from Dallas Seminary, he held to an old earth. And Tanner's my age. He's about, I don't know, between 65 and 70.
Right.
And yet Tanner has come to this position not because he was predisposed toward it, but because as he studied the Old Testament, especially Genesis 1 and 2, he became convinced. But by the way, it's not just Genesis 1 and 2 that tells us about the creation. There's other references in the rest of the Old Testament, and there's references in the New Testament that talk about, for example, Eve being deceived, and talk about when Job, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, things like that, which look back to the creation.
Right.
But make a long story short, the free grace position doesn't hinge on this.
Yeah.
Even the inerrancy position doesn't hinge on this. I remember Norm Geisler held to an old earth, or at least I think he held to some sort of gap view. And yet Geisler was one of the architects for a strong inerrancy position.
Yeah, he was Mr. Inerrancy. Okay, serious question. Let's say the YEC position is true, or that is the correct interpretation of the Bible. Someone could say, isn't that proof that the Bible is false? Because we know from every science that the earth is much older than 6,000 years.
Well, see, that's why a lot of people go to an old earth position, is because they look at it backwards. You know, my view would be we interpret our experience in light of Scripture. We don't experience Scripture in light of our experience. Various theories about the age of the earth are just that. I mean, there is no human way of determining the age of the earth. Carbon dating won't tell you the date of the earth. Decay of radioactive particles won't tell you the age of the earth. You can't look at the layers of soil and determine, okay, this tells me the earth is so old.
Well, I mean, why not?
First off, the reason you can't do it is because there is no method. You know, you can't take some soil out of the ground and check it for uranium-236 and say, okay, well, the half-life is such and such, therefore, that only works up to about 3,000 years old. And even there, it doesn't work well. I mean, I think they've tested living mollusks and said that it was 3,000 years old.
Mm.
So you need, the way they determine the age of the Earth is by looking at the light coming from distant stars. And they have ways of calibrating it. And so they've calibrated that, I think our sun is something like 9 light minutes away.
Okay.
And I think the nearest star outside of that is something like 3 light years. Isn't it Alpha Centauri?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
It's like 3 light years. But there are stars that are 14 billion light years away.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they say is the universe must be 14 billion years old because it's 14 billion light years away. And they determine the age of the earth in part from all that data. The problem I have is, I would say on the first day of creation, light from 14 billion light years away was already hitting the earth. Why couldn't God create a light beam that's 14 billion light years long instantly?
You know, that would be the apparent age issue.
Yeah. But having said all that, there really is no good way to determine the age of the earth.
You reject the science.
I mean, I have a Bachelor of Science in Biology, and I was taught evolution.
Yeah.
I came to faith at the beginning of my senior year, and I remember hearing several people coming over from Biola University. Well, one in particular, I think this guy was actually not a biologist, but a mathematician. Mm. And he said mathematically, the odds of life coming about purely by chance are so astronomically large as to be totally impossible. And, of course, some of the people were saying, well, it didn't have to be totally. I mean, you know, God could have been superintending the whole process.
Yeah, theistic evolution, don't they? Right. God uses the evolution process.
But there are a lot of people who hold to old Earth that don't believe in theistic evolution.
Right. So far as I could tell, you tell me if I'm wrong, everyone believes in evolution. Everybody, even young Earth people, they call it microevolution.
Yeah.
But they reject what they call macroevolution.
Well, yeah, because God created things according to their kind, which we don't even know if kind is species. You know, it's kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, kind could be genus or family.
Right.
So that God originally probably created one set of lupus,
dogs. Everyone thinks that dogs or wolves evolved into all the different dogs, and sometimes bred into different species of dogs.
Right.
But you can get the one from the other. But they just reject that a dog could become... A wolf can become a dog, but it can't become
a cat or something.
A
frog's never going to become a human. And by the way, Crick and Watson, those guys discovered DNA.
Yeah.
I think it was Crick that ultimately... Because originally they agreed with Darwin's idea that single-cell organisms got more complicated.
Okay.
But then I think it was Crick that said, no, that's impossible because one single-celled organism is amazingly complex. Mm. The DNA in it is equivalent to all the books in the Library of Congress.
Mm.
And he said the only way life could have come about here is it must have evolved somewhere else. Where a single-cell organism was simple, and then those beings developed the ability to travel through space. They came here, seeded the planet, and then left.
The space seed theory. I've heard of that. Well, if you have a question about...
So that's much more than everybody wanted to hear.
Well, no, I don't know. That's interesting. Do you have more questions for Bob? If so, you know where to send your questions to, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it means to be absent from the body and present with Christ. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.